It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello. Welcome, one and all. It is December 23rd, 2021. That means it is a Thursday. And Thursdays are traditionally beer days, which is always a good time. Unfortunately, today is not a beer day. Today is not an anything good day. We've got some slow news, so I guess that's good. But your boy tested positive, so my bad allergies this week, apparently not allergies. So anyway, if you feel off, grab one of those at-home tests. Anyway, I'm going to go do a PCR test here at 2000 hours. UTC is when I'm scheduled, so I'll have to be listening to the DGC in my car as I drive to the testing site. Blah. Lame. All right. Well, so that's what's going on with Marcus. But I just want to say thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being here. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, you can. All you got to do is SSH over to sdf.org, and from there, just run com, press G for go to, and then type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word, and you'll be good to go. Hey, SMJ, welcome. My com is acting a bit slow. There it is. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Boom. Now it's all better. Yeah, I've tested positive. At least the home test is positive, so I'm going to go do the big test. I was feeling a little... I thought I had bad allergies, because it's cedar season here in Austin. Usually in the late... In late December, early couple months of the year, cedar trees, or these juniper trees, start throwing a lot of pollen in the air. And most of the town gets kind of sick. It looks like we all have bad allergies to the this tree pollen. And anyway, I just thought it was that. But one of my friends who I had interacted with on Sunday was like, I know I'm vaccinated and boosted, but I took the test and I'm positive, so you should probably take a test too. And sure enough. So I went, that's what I spent my morning doing, letting everyone know so they could get tested if they feel like they should. Because, I'm not one to tell anybody. I'm telling them that they should, it's probably recommended. But all right. Well, let's go ahead and get started. Let's talk about news. Let's start the way we almost always start. And that's
world news,
right? With the world news. First, Omicron death in Germany recorded record COVID cases in UK. Germany's Robert Koch Institute for Infectious Disease has confirmed the country's first death due to the Omicron variant of the coronavirus. Meanwhile, Britain reported another record new COVID-19 infections on Thursday with 119,789 cases. Coronavirus infections have begun rising again across the six Gulf Arab states after months of low or falling figures. The resurgence comes as the UAE is welcoming millions of visitors to the Expo 2020 Dubai World Fair and other seasonal events. As the Omicron coronavirus variant continues to spread around the world, AstraZeneca said its booster is effective against the new coronavirus variant, citing data from an independent Oxford University lab study. Two studies in the UK provided some early hints that Omicron may be milder than the Delta strain. Any reductions in severity will need to be weighed against the fact that Omicron spreads much faster than Delta and is more able to evade vaccines, the study says. So, yeah, it would be really cool. Hey, GTC 1977, welcome. UAE would be a neat place to visit. It'd be interesting. Those states in the Middle East right there, like the UAE and Iran and stuff like that, I would be really interested to visit, but the strict religious laws kind of bug me. Hey, Tobe, welcome. Yeah, my brother was in the Navy, and he was in the Middle East somewhere over there, and eventually he had some kind of reaction to something, and so they evacuated him to get back home, but they threw him in a helicopter, and he just had to fly. They basically, he should have worn goggles, because apparently there was some dust and shit got in his eyes, and so then he was in, like an Iranian airport or maybe a UAE airport. He was in a place that wasn't friendly to Americans, and he could hardly see because his eyes were all swollen up, and he had to try and find his way to get to the domestic flight they were shipping him on. So, blah. Hey, X1, I'm sorry you're on headache mode. I'm on sore throat mode. We'll just play sickness games. Anyway, I hope you're doing okay. I hope you're feeling all right. Let's keep moving. We got more to talk about. Morocco is extending health emergency status to January 31st. The Moroccan government on Thursday extended the nationwide health state of emergency to January 31st, the country's state news agency reported. The decision comes at a time when there is a rise in COVID-19 infections in the country. The Moroccan Ministry of Health reported 427 new COVID-19 infections and 3 deaths on Wednesday, December 23rd, bringing the number of confirmed cases in the country to 953,724. The government on Monday banned all New Year's Eve parties and special events organized in hotels, restaurants, and tourist establishments. A curfew on New Year's Eve will be imposed between 12 a.m. and 6 a.m. in a bid to reinforce the preventative measures. So, do not plan to party in Morocco. That is not going to happen. Now, the BBC, now that we know that, the BBC, though, is letting us know, hey, you know what? Maybe don't stress out too much about Omicron. Omicron up to 70% less likely to need hospital care. People catching Omicron are 50 to 70% less likely to need hospital care compared with previous variants. The UK Health Security Agency says its early findings are encouraging, but the variant could still lead to a large number of people in hospital. The health secretary said it was too early to determine next steps. The study also shows the jab's ability to stop people catching Omicron starts to wane 10 weeks after a booster dose. Protection against severe disease is likely to be far more robust. The report comes hot on the heels of data from South Africa, Denmark, England, and Scotland, all of which pointed to reduced severity. Per daily. The UK has set another daily record with 119,789 confirmed cases. So that's today. There were a further 147 deaths within 28 days of positive test. Yearly average USA COVID. Let's see what the United States number is. Okay, here, the CDC data tracker weekly review. Seven-day moving average. Here it is. Our current 7-day average is 122,297, and we're up 1.5% in 7-day average since previous week. So, every Western country that acts like they've got a handle on COVID, they really don't. It's just, as I found out, everyone just is the wheels of industry, cannot keep turning if people are staying home and not working, and not generating economic activity. So, just make everybody feel comfortable, and then they'll go out and spend money and generate money. Because guess what? Corporations can't get sick. All right, well, let's keep on moving. We got lots of news to talk about. So next up, Putin accuses West of coming with its missiles to our doorstep. Russian president again voices anger at NATO expansion and says he would be prepared to intervene in Ukraine. Vladimir Putin has accused the West of coming with missiles to our doorstep as he reiterated demands for no further NATO expansion in Europe. The Russian president did little to reduce tensions over Ukraine as he spoke at a televised press conference, saying he would be prepared to launch an intervention if he felt Ukraine or its Western allies were preparing an attack on Russia's proxies in the country. They keep telling us, war, 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 Putin said on Thursday. There is an impression that maybe they are preparing for the third military operation in Ukraine and give us fair warning. Do not intervene. Do not protect these people. But if you do intervene and protect them, there will be new sanctions. Perhaps we should prepare for that. Analysts have said Russia may be seeking a casus belli. WNXR, welcome. The Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu this week accused American mercenaries of transporting chemical weapons to the front lines of the conflict zone, although he did not provide any evidence for the claim. There are a few signs that Ukraine's military is preparing an offensive in Donbas, where the front lines have remained mostly static for 6 years. More than 14,000 people have died since fighting began in 2014. Putin said he didn't want war with Ukraine, but would seek new security guarantees from the West in upcoming talks with the U.S., reiterating his controversial demand that NATO's eastern members remove troops and military installations that appeared after the country's accession to the alliance in 1997. "We have made it clear that NATO's move to the east is unacceptable," he said. "The United States is standing with missiles on our doorstep. Is it an excessive requirement not to install shock systems at our house? How would the Americans react if missiles were placed at the border with Canada or Mexico?" And this, I can actually see Russia's point with this. Like, annexing the Crimean Peninsula was kind of a shit move, but expanding NATO, I don't know. I don't see the point of NATO existing at all anymore. The Cold War is over. I want to remind you what our opponents have said over the centuries. Russia cannot be defeated. It can only be torn apart from within, he told a BBC Russian journalist during the event. When answering a question about the arrest of opposition figures and declaration of dozens of news outlets as foreign agents, Putin also took some questions on cancel culture, giving support to the Harry Potter author J.K. Rowling as he compared views on transgender rights to new strains of the coronavirus. I can't get behind that. Putin is a TERF. Maybe he's, I guess he's anti-gay. He's homophobic, so I guess that makes sense. All right. Ugh, sorry. Gotta cough every so often. All right. Well,
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
We're gonna get there, but first, this is news I wish Publius was here to hear, because then we could hear his point of view. But X1, this might be news to you, I don't know. Belgium agrees to close controversial aging nuclear reactors. The Belgian government has reached a deal to close 7 aging nuclear reactors by 2025. The reactors housed at 2 plants in Dole and Tihang have long been controversial. They've been shut down repeatedly for safety checks and have sparked fear in neighboring countries. A compromise was reached after years of debate and overnight talks by government ministers. The plan in principle was confirmed at a press conference on Thursday. Closures will begin in 2022, with the aim of both plants being safely decommissioned and demolished by 2045. Some reactors at the plants, operated by utility company Engie, have been operational since the 1970s and have long been a source of regional concern. Tensions flared in 2015 when plans to use reactors beyond their 40-year design life were met with complaints from cities across nearby borders. The German city of Aachen even began offering iodine tablets to residents in 2017 over safety fears about the reactors at Tihang following closures over cracks and water leaks. And they have a nice map in the story that I will send into com. A map of old nuclear plants. So you can check it out in com if you'd like. That link for posterity is sdf.org/L/Lima/FM, like Foxtrot Mike. So sdf.org/Lima/Foxtrot Mike. Foxtrot Mike. Sorry. I'm dying. I'm clogged up, so it's hard to talk. All right. Let's play a song. That'll probably make me better. I'll do that. Let's play a song. iodine is good for getting, at least protecting your thyroids. But you know, it's kind of it's always a bit of a challenge, I guess. Let's see. We played Tom Petty earlier. Let's do, you know what I want to hear? I want to hear here it is. It's a little bit longer song, but I need it because I'm just blah today. This is some Ozzy.
non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to a non-radio powered by SDF. And SDF, that's powered by you. So thank you so much for being here, and thanks for listening to a non-radio. It is 21 minutes or so after the hour, which means coming up in just about 8 minutes, you're going to have the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, which is a great time. It's super fun. He's very busy with mail and mail things lately. But there's lots of adventures, lots of synthesizers, bear dads, not as many golf balls now that it's winter, but marmots will be back. Matis. Oh, the dudes. I miss them. All right. Well, that's going on. You can always press equal sign incom to see the whole schedule, the text schedule of what's coming up next, or go to anonradio.net. Okay, let's get moving. We got some news to talk about.
World news.
First, let's talk about money. Cash? Thousands of Zimbabweans lined up outside banks and currency exchange offices across the country on Thursday, some for days, in a desperate bid to get cash before Christmas. Most are unlikely to succeed, as the inflation-ravaged South African country facing a severe shortage of foreign currency, preventing many Zimbabweans from returning home for the holidays or buying Christmas presents. In the capital of Harare, hundreds of people, sometimes with babies, were sleeping in queues with no social distancing, according to some local reporters. "I've been in the queue since last Thursday," said Shepherd Mabamba, outside a currency exchange office. Told us they have no money and that we should come back tomorrow. So, yeah, this is pretty tough right now going on in Zimbabwe. People are not able to travel or do a lot of things without being able to get their hands on U.S. dollars. Now, what else is there, or why would I bring up money in general? Well, that's because I learned something today, and I wanted to share it with you. Chicago's last black-owned bank got millions in government deposits, then had to give them back. And at first I was like, ooh, man, what a shitty thing to do to the bank. But guess what? There's a twist. The $20 million deposit was supposed to be a turning point. When the city of Chicago deposited the money into Illinois' last black-owned bank in 2017, the story received national news coverage. The city treasurer said the deposit represented a paradigm shift in how the government supported community investment, and the bank's owner and chairman predicted it would help strengthen the institution and help people fulfill their dreams. But less than 3 years later, an officer at GN Bank told the city it would return the money. Instead of sparking new loans and investment, he indicated the deposits ended up costing the bank hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest, much more than it could afford. As black-owned banks around the country disappear, government officials have come under pressure to save them. Often they opt for a simple solution that seems popular with voters, depositing large sums of money. Yet experts note multi-million dollar deposits only benefit small banks if they're able to make loans in the community, which GN struggled to do. Unlike other tools at the government's disposal, such as including smaller banks and bond deals, big deposits alone can't help make a profit. Municipal deposits can be very expensive for financial institutions, said Horacio Mendez, president and CEO of the Chicago-based Woodstock Institute, a nonprofit policy group that focuses on financial issues. Sometimes, a city or state kind of thinks that putting a lot of money in a financial institution is doing them a favor. The city of Chicago has been mostly unsuccessful at increasing the number of deposits at minority-owned and community banks. No such banks currently hold city deposits. City officials recently announced that despite an outreach effort for smaller institutions, just 11 banks applied to accept municipal deposits for 2022, and all were large corporate entities, including BMO Harris and JP Morgan Chase. The story of GN Bank, formerly called Illinois Service Federal Savings and Loan, helps illustrate why community banks may be shying away from the city's proposal. And so this is really what surprised me, and what I learned, what I kind of felt like was a learning moment, was I thought that banks, especially black-owned banks, had a high demand for loans, and that they were being held back by the fact that they did not have a way to lend more. They needed more deposits. But this kind of turned it on its head, because instead this was... they could take some deposits, sure, but they can't pay million. They can't service accounts with millions of dollars in them. So, anyway, I thought that was really cool. All right, so let's go through the remaining headlines as we run out of time and run down the time here. Iran condom ban sparks fear of disease, unwanted pregnancies, and a black market. Iran has passed a law banning the free, state-subsidized distribution of contraceptives in a bid to boost its population growth. But the move has raised fears of catastrophic repercussions. Iran's government systematically cracks down on the free flow of information, and those who speak to foreign media may be subject to persecution. For that reason, the identity of the interviewees are not disclosed, and their faces are blurred or not shown. This is a video piece over at Radio Free Europe or Radio Liberty, if you want to check that out. But I just thought it was very... the news was Iran's getting rid of its free condom program to encourage population growth, which I thought was interesting. Biden signs a law banning imports from Xinjiang in response to concerns over the use of forced labor. The bill, which was approved by Congress last week, also requires the president to impose sanctions on Chinese officials responsible for human rights abuses in Xinjiang. This is the most important impactful action taken thus far by the United States to hold the Chinese Communist Party accountable for their use of slave labor, Republican Senator Marco Rubio, a driver of the bill, said in a statement. Meanwhile, in the United States, slave labor is used to produce lots of things and run lots of call centers, but... I mean, it's only if it's foreign forced labor that we care. So, yeah, that's always fun. What else is going on? Oh, Japan has invented a lickable TV. Taste the TV. Japan invents a lickable screen to imitate food flavors. Prototypes use carousels of canisters to create flavor samples on hygienic film over a flat screen. A Japanese professor has developed a prototype lickable TV that can imitate food flavors, another step towards creating multi-sensory viewing experience. The device called Taste the TV, or TTTV, uses a carousel of 10 flavors, canisters that spray in combination to create the taste of a particular food. The flavor sample then rolls on hygienic film over a flat-screen TV for the viewer to try. So, should be very interesting. Potential applications include distance learning for sommeliers and cooks, and tasting games and quizzes, he added. Miyashita has also been in talks with companies about using the spray technology for devices that can apply a pizza or chocolate taste to a slice of toasted bread. Yukiho, 22, a student at Meiji University, demonstrated TTTV for reporters, telling the screen she wanted to taste sweet chocolate. After a few tries, an automated voice repeated the order and flavor jets spritzed a sample onto a sheet. It's kind of like milk chocolate, she said. It's sweet, like a chocolate sauce. So, very cool. I thought that was neat. And that's kind of all the time we've got today. I've enjoyed our time. I hope that I survive the weekend. I'll be back tomorrow, and Monday through Friday. But yeah, that's all the time we got. Bye!
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through...
7.